Chaf Amud Beis, 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Ner, which is a menorah, and it has in it a psila, which is a wick, and it's lit. And where is it located? Sha'omed al Gabi Tavla. Tavla is what we call a luach, which is on top of a table. And he now wants to take it off. And he has a problem of possibly moving it in such a way that it might go out, it might extinguish. Is the Braisa recommends the Hino Feles, the menorah falls off when he shakes the table or the board. And after the lamp, the menorah falls off, Im Kavsa Kavsa. He doesn't have to worry about it. He doesn't have any kavana to deliberately cause it to extinguish, and therefore he's not chayav for such a thing. And we're talking about a case where there's no oil in the ner. If there's oil in the ner, then when he shakes this board, then he's going to pour out shemen. And that's a separate sort of taking out shemen from a ner that's lit, because that's really meleches mechaba, as the Gemara establishes in Beitza. Tosis raised the possibility that maybe we're talking about a ner shel shava, and it has only a chashash of kibui aner. In any event, Amri de Beir Avyanai, the Talmidim of the Beis Medrash of Avyanai, said, Lo Shanu, when does the Brice allow you to shake the board and let the lamp fall off? That's only in a case of Ela B'Shocheach. In other words, he left the lamp on the table Erev Shabbos, but he really didn't have an intention to leave it there for the entire Shabbos. Av Meniach, if he deliberately placed the lamp down on this board Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, then Nasa Bosis L'Dover Osur. The Tavla itself becomes Mukta, and you can't be metaltal it in order to shake it off, because this board is now serving as a base for Mukta. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Ner She Me'achore Adeles, if you have a lamp that's behind a door, okay, the lamp sort of hangs on the back of a door, Poseach v'noel kedarko, he's allowed to open and close the door, even though he has to consider the possibility that the wind, as he opens and closes the door, is going to cause the ner to extinguish. But v'im kovsa kovsa, and he's not miskaving l'kach, and therefore it's mutter. So if it goes out, it goes out. If it's extinguished, it's extinguished. But we don't have to be concerned about the wind that comes in when the door is open, that extinguishes the flame, because he doesn't have kavana for that. Layit alav Rav. Rav took a strong opposition to this ruling. And anyone who accepts that ruling, he gets a whammy, so to speak, from Rav, that you're allowed to open and close the door, knowing full well that there's a lamp behind the door. Amale Ravina l'Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav v'Yamale Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav l'Rav Ashi. My time alayet alay Rav. Why was Rav upset about this? Elam, if you can say Mishum d'Rav Sover Kalor of Yehuda, that a Dover Shein Miskavin is Asur. Vitana Katani lay, but the Braisa that we quoted before that allows the opening and closing of the door is Karibi Shimon, reflects the Shimon of Shita Rav Shimon, who holds Dovash Enim Eskavin is Mutter, is Mishum de Rav Sovala Karab Yehuda. It's called the Tani Karabi Shimon Milat Layatale. Does Rav really want to be so harsh about someone who may accept this Braisa, which is based on Rabbi Shimon? Despite the fact that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda in Dovash Enim Eskavin, but nevertheless, he doesn't have to condemn anyone who disagrees with that position. Amalei Rav Acha says to Ravina, Beha, in this halacha, psichas nilas teles, is afilu Rabbi Shimon moda. Rav understood that Rabbi Shimon would also agree that it's osur. And the reason for that is, toha abai v'rava diamit shavai moda Rabbi Shimon, psikresha lo yomus. Man, if you cut off the head of the chicken, you know it's going to die. So you're chayv. You can't say you're not miskaven for something that's definite and it's a certain outcome. Here also, when he opens the door and he has a lamp outside the door, maybe on the back side of the door, he knows that it's impossible for him to do it in a way that the wind won't come in and blow out the candle. So that kibui is going to be a psikration to kikibui, and even Rav Shimon would agree that it's osur. Now, what do we do in light of Rav Acha's interpretation with the Braisa? The Braisa itself says that you're allowed to open up the door, and if we interpret that that Braisa maintains the shita Rav Shimon and Dovr Shenim is coming, but nevertheless it's psikration. So the Rashba points out here that there's one shita that holds, that Rabbi Shimon holds, Dovr Shenim is coming, is mutter, even if it's a psikresha. The Ran, on the other hand, says that this is not a psikresha, that the Tana, the Braisa, holds that it's not definite that the Nair will be extinguished based on the Ruach. The Rashba goes on to say that we see from our sugi that even in Issa de Rabbanan, like for example, Kibui HaNer, which is certainly a malach shen tzricha legufa, and Rav Shimon says yipatur, but nevertheless it's asur, and even though it's only the Rabbanon, Rabbi Shimon would say that if it's a psikresha, so we have a double whammy over here, it's a malach shen tzricha legufa and a dover shen miskavi, nevertheless it remains asur. And that's what the Rashi wants to conclude based on our Gemara. So now we're up to Amar Rav Yehuda, Poseach Adam Delas Keneged Medura. He has a Medura, some sort of a bonfire which is near a door, and he's allowed to open up the door on Shabbos, even though the Ruach, the wind, is now going to come in through this opening and it's going to cause the flame to go higher and higher. It's going to fan the flames. And after Rabbi Yehuda's leniency, Layit Omar Alei Abaye. Abaye was very upset, and he said, anyone who accepts this psak of Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to get a whammy. So the Gemara asks, B'mayas Kinon. This machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Abaye, what exactly is the case? Elam, if we're going to say it's a case, B'ruach Mitzuya, then what my time of the Rabbi demandi osar? Why should Abaye asar if we're talking about a ruach mitzuya and say you're not allowed to open up the door? It's not it's not a derech ruach mitzuya to be maver esh. In other words, we don't anticipate that in the case of a normal average velocity wind that's blowing outdoors that it's going to accelerate the fire that we don't expect. But even ruach shenim mitzuyah, if it's a very unusual kind of wind and it's a high velocity wind, is then my taima demand shari? How do we understand Rabbi Yehuda who permits this when a strong wind will certainly fan the flames? So Gemara answers liolam beruach mitzuyah mar sover koin tabai gazrinon. Even though it's a ruach mitzuya, and we are afraid that maybe if we allow him, in the case of a ruach mitzuya, to open up the door, then next Shabbos he's going to open up the door, even if it's a ruach sheina mitzuya. So therefore, we should prohibit even a ruach mitzuya. We're not going to allow you to open the door. Keneged amidora, but mar sover koin to Rabbi Yehuda lo gazrinon. We don't have to take consideration the possibility of a ruach shena mitzuya. It's probably not going to happen, and therefore we don't have to institute this gzera. Now we go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says osim mechitza, which means that if the fire is going in its way, you're allowed to set up a mechitza made up with all kinds of kalim. They could be Malayim, they could be Reikonim, they might be full, they might be empty. And Rabbi Yossi says that it's also in the case of a Kli Cheres Chadosha. If you have new earthenware vessels that are filled with water, Malei Mayim, because in such a case, those vessels would not be able to tolerate the flame and the heat of the fire, and they will burst and extinguish the fire. L'meimer d'rabbanan savri gram kibur mutar, Rabbi Yossi savri gram kibur asur. So should we assume that the machlokas here about gram kibur, the rabbanan hold its mutar, and therefore they have no problem putting this new kli cheres with water in it in order to block the fire, and it'll be burst, and the water's going to come out and extinguish the fire. But that's called gram kibur, and it's mutar. Rabbi Yossi savri gram kibur asur. And the question is, we have actually a brisa that records it just in the opposite way. The sanya we learned in the brisa, osim mechitza bifnei adleika shalot ispashet bikelim reikonim, with empty vessels, or alternatively those utensils that are full with water, shein darko lishtaber, but they're very strong vessels, they can tolerate the heat. The elu, and which are the kelim aleim she'ein darkan l'shtaber? Let's try to hone in and single out, enumerate which kelim would not break under the heat of the fire, and therefore you'd be permitted to place them in the way of the fire. Kol matochos, all kelim that are made from metals. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af even klicheres, which is made of afar. Kfar Shichin Ukle Kfar Chananya. Okay, so we're talking about the offer that comes from a place called Kfar Shichin, and you make an earthenware out of that, or alternatively out of the offer of Kfar Chananya. These are very strong offer, and the earth is so strong that ain't Dakon Lishtaba. When you make a Kli out of that kind of earthenware, then we're going to assume that it's not going to break, and therefore you can make a mechitza in front of a dleika out of these kli cheres. Now, it's clear here from this brisa that the chachamim hold that gram kibur is asur, and that's why they're only going to allow those kelim that's ain darkon l'shtaber, and that's against the chachamim in our Mishnah who are more lenient and they allowed gram kibur. And we also have a stira in Rabbi Yossi, because here in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi is more makel than the chachamim with regard to gram kibur. He's going to be matter even a kli of kfar shichin, and yet in the Mishnah he was just the opposite. He was more machmir than the chachamim. Now you'll suggest Epoch Masnisen. Maybe we can change around the Shitos in the Mishnah, and we'll read it thusly. The Osim Mechitza Bechol Hakelim Bein Maleim Bein Reikonim Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the Mekil, as we saw, he was the Mekil in the clay Kfar Shichin. The Chachomim Osrim Bekli Cheres Chadoshim. And the Chachamim are worried about Gram Kibui, and therefore they prohibit in the case of a Keli, which we assume will go burst and will cause the extinguishing of the fire. So Rabbi Yossi is the Mekel of Gram Kibu's Mutter. He's going to allow Kli Cheres Chadoshim, even though they're going to break. And Chachamim Machmirim, and they prohibit these Kelim Chadoshim that are made of Cheres because of Gram Kibu. Rabbi Yossi de Braisa. Now Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa seems to admit that it's also b'kli cheres chadoshim, that he was only matir kli kfar shichin or kfar chananya, which are not mishtabrim. It's l'divrayim ka'amar. In other words, he said this according to the shita chachamim. According to my shita, you can make a mechitza from all kelim, even those that'll break, because gram kibur is mutter. But shitaskam, according to your logic and your premise that gram kibur is asur, even though you prohibit kelim aleim asuyim lishtaber, you're not allowed to be gram kibur by setting up these utensils that are full of water and they we anticipate they'll break, but nevertheless you should be moded to me that not only is a metal kli mutter, because that's not going to break, but even a kli kvar shichin or kvar chananya that are made of offer that's very tough, ain't darken lishtaber, and therefore that's not considered gram kivut. Says the Gemara, no. Mimatz is ipchala. Is it possible at all to switch around the shitos in our Mishnah to say that Rabbi Yossi is the mekil, he's the one who holds gram kivut mutter? Ve'omar Rabba bar tachlifa mishmei de rav man tano gram kivut asur Rabbi Yossi. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yossi is the machmir. So you can't tell me that we're going to say epuch and apply it in the Mishnah. El Yolam Lo Tape. So we're going to have to now offer a different explanation to reconcile the two brises, both for the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi. Brisa Kula Rabbi Yossi. We're going to have to add something to the brisa, and we're going to now attribute the authorship of the brisa to Rabbi Yossi. Chisuri Mechzor Rochik Toni. Here's how we have to refurbish and rewrite the brisa. Osim Mechitza. We're allowed to make a mechitza b'fnei adleika b'kelim reikonim with empty utensils, u'bimileim, and utensils filled with water, she'ein darkon l'shtaber, if we assume it's made out of a metal or any other very strong material that it wouldn't break because of the heat of the fire. V'eileim kelim she'ein darkon l'shtaber. We'll give you a little bit of a list of those kelim that are durable and they wouldn't break because of the fire. Is clay matochos, any of the metals, uklei kvar shichin, uklei kvar chananya, nami ein darken l'shtamer, sherab yosi omer, sha'af clay kvar shichin, uklei kvar chananya, ein darken l'shtamer. Elo li olam lo tepuch. No, it's based on the fact that Rabba bar tachlifa said that the we can identify the Tano who holds Gram Kibu's also as Rabbi Yossi. We have to reject the possibility of Tepuch. Kula, Rabbi Yossi. The Brisa is Rabbi Yossi. But here's the Chisuz Mechzor that we began before the interruption. V'hachi K'toni. This is how you have to read the Brisa. Osim Mechitza B'Kelim Reikonim. V'chein B'Maleim Shein Darkom Lishtaber. V'eluhin Kelim Shein Darkom Lishtaber. Klei Matechos. Kli Kfar Shichin Kli Kfar Chananya Nami. Is ein darkam lishtaber. Therefore, you're allowed to make a mechitza out of these kelim b'fnei adleika. Sherab Yossi Omer af kli kvar shichinu kli kvar chananya ein darkam lishtaber. So the entire brisa from beginning to end is Rabbi Yossi, and it reflects the shita that gram kibui is asur. So now the Gemara raises a different contradiction in the machlokas chacham Rabbi Yossi. V'rami Derabonon adrabonon verabi derabiosi adrabiosi. We're going to now ask a stira from the Chachamim in our Mishnah, who are matir gram kibui to the Chachamim in the Braisa, and Rabbi Yossi, who in our Mishnah prohibits gram kibui to Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Hareisha Haya Shem Kosev La Basaro. Let's see, has the name of God written, inscribed on his basar. And now we have a problem of how to treat this shame with the proper respect. Is the Braisa says, Hareze lo yirchotz. He's not allowed to wash his area where he has the shame Hashem, because that would be a violation of the Isur of Lo Sasun Kei L'Hashem L'Kech Vav Bima Abi D'Shem Hashem. He's going to erase the name of God. And the same thing would apply Lo Yosuch B'Shemen if he anoints his body with oil. That also is going to erase the name of God. V'lo Yamed B'Makom Tinofes. He's not allowed to even stand in a place where there's Tzoa, where there's filth, because that's also a Bizui to the shame that's written on his body. So what's the only option? Is nizdamnalo tefillah shel mitzvah, if it's an occasion which is obligated in tefillah, let's say, for example, Zava Mitzora or any other Chayvei Tefillos, is Korech Oleha. What he has to do is wrap around his body in the place where there's a shame, Gumi, and Gumi is a reed grass, okay? So he takes this blade of grass, this reed grass, and he wraps it around the name of Hashem. And then Yored V'Tovel, then he's allowed to descend into the mikveh and immerse himself in the mikveh. And I guess, since now the shame is covered, it's protected by this gumi, therefore he's not going to erase the name of Hashem. Rav Yossi Omer, Li'olam Yored V'Tovel Kedarko, he doesn't need to wrap around, he's not required to wrap around with gumi on the place where the shame is, but he could just go down into the mikveh Kedarko, because that's called Gram Mechika. He is indirectly causing the erasure of the name of God. Ubavad Shalo Yishafshef, as long as he doesn't actively shake up and wipe away the shame that's written on his body, because that would be Mechika Sashem V'Yadayim. Anyway, we see clearly that according to Chachamim, Gram Mechika is also, according to Rav Yossi, it's Mutter. And it's funny, because in Gram Kibu we came to the opposite conclusion. The Chachamim were Matir, and Rav Yossi was Asa. Shiny Hossam, the Gemara says, the Yom Kra, the Pasuk says in Zvarim Yud Beis, V'ibaditem eshmo min amokam ahu lo tasim kein l'ashem elokeichem. And that's the source for the Isur Mechikas Hashem. And it says, lo tasun, which means Asiya. Asiya biyadayim hu asur groma shari. So if you ask why Rabbi Yossi is Mekil, and he allows you to be Yored V'Tovel Kedarko, and the answer is because that's in the worst case scenario, Gram Ibud Hashem. And the Torah went out of its way to tell you that only Asiya is prohibited, Lotasa. So the Gemara asks, wait, are you going to tell me that whenever the Torah prohibits Asiya, Grama is Mutter, so then we don't understand Rabbi Yossi and Gram Kibri on Shabbos? The Torah says in the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro, it says, Lo Saseh Kol Malacha. So we should say the exact same thing. Let's be consistent. Asiya Hu Di Asur, Grama Shari. The Torah is going to allow doing a Malacha through Grama, in an indirect way, when you cause the malacha to be done. So why wasn't Rabbi Yossi Matir Gram Kibui? And the Gemara answers that we're talking about Rabbi Yossi's Gram Kibui as a Drabbanon. And why is that so? Mitosh al Nabo'el al Mamono, if you're going to tell me that, you know, we'll allow him to, you know, to put these barrels in a way that the water will, after the barrels break, will put out the fire, then a person is in a state of emotional turmoil, mental turmoil, when it comes to his mama. He really wants to save his mama. And therefore, Yisharisle, Osi Lechabuye, if you're going to allow him to do what's called Gram Kibui, then Rav Yossi is afraid that he might come to do Kibui B'Yadayim. And the whole discussion here is only on a Drabbanan level. Ihachi. Okay, so if you're going to tell me the Chash of Gram Kibu Yeshem Yechabi V'Yadayim, then Kashi Drabbanan Drabbanan, in Gram Kibui, we came to the conclusion Drabbanan would make it. They're not worried about being Gorei Makibui. It's all Drabbanan because of Bol Amamon. They don't have this Issa Drabbanan. And what about the case of Mechikas Hashem? There we saw that the Rabbanan were machmir in Mechikas Hashem. So Gemara suggests in this kasha a kal v'chomer ma'hasam in the case of Gram Kibi Yodim Bol Almamoni and Fidesveg, and even so, Shari the Rabbanan allow you to be Gorim Kibui, and they're not afraid that you're going to come to extinguish the fire by a dime. Is hoch in the case of Mechikas Hashem? you know, why should we believe that it'll come to do a mechika, the shame? There's no svara called Adam Bol Almona Lo Koshkein. Certainly we should be mutter to be goreim the mechika, because the Torah says tasun, and here you're only doing a begrama. So why did the Chachamim insist that he has to wrap the names of Hashem around with this gumi? And let's take the case of a tefillah shel mitzvah. Let him just go in. So the Gemara says, "Vitizbra, are you arguing? Vitizbra always means, you know, your svara, that the reason why the Chacham required a gumi on the name, you know, wrapped around the name of God when he's doing a tefillah, is in order to prevent it from mechika." He says, "If that's be the case, then I don't understand. Hai gemi fahai dummy." In other words, this gemi that he's wrapping around to protect the shame, because of the mayim he's going into the mikvah. What's the case? Edom ahadeg, he's going to bind here because of the laws of mikvah. If you're going to tell me that he's going to tie it tightly down to his basar in order to make sure the water doesn't go in and erase the name of Hashem, is then you're in trouble as far as tevilah is concerned, because havilei mechitza, kohavi mechitza, chatzitza, because it's a permanent chatzitza, and he wants to make sure it's tight around his basar. Ella, what you're going to have no choice but to say this: the tefillah is meaningful. Then he lo mahadik, it must be that he's not tying around this gemi very tightly. No, if that be the case, I'll be Maya. The water's going to go in, which is great from the perspective of tefillah, but it's not too good from the perspective of mechikas Hashem. So it must be that the Chachamim did not require kricha in a gemi in order to prevent the mechikas Hashem, because there really is no iser of gram mechikas Hashem. Just like we said before, there's no iser of, according to the Chachamim, of gram kibui. There's no iser of gram mechikas Hashem. So therefore, we're going to talk about a gumi that's not mehudok. It's not tied down tightly, because that would be a chatzitza. But why do the Chachamim require that you put a gumi on the shame? So that's going to be clarified, you know, very soon. We have to be a little bit patient for that. But the Gemara, in the meantime, wants to ask a kasha. It's not possible to say that we're talking about a gumi, a gemi mehudak, because it's a chatzitza. Well, is that really true? Is gemi mehudak a chatzitza? Is tepukle mishum dio? You know, what are you worried about? You're saying that because he adds the gemi, that's going to create the mechitza. Forget about that. Even without the gemi, we have a serious problem of chatzitza because of the dio. In other words, the name of God was written on his basar, and that itself is a hefsek, is a chatzitza. So why are you telling me that after he puts on the gemi, which is not too tight and it's loose, then he's allowed to go into the mikvah? That's not so. Because no matter how you slice the cake, you have a chatzitza here for the tefillah. So even if the gemi is there, but you still have a chatzitza, insofar as the ink is concerned. And the Gemara answers that in the Raisa, we're talking about bidyo lacha. In other words, very, very, very moist or liquidy ink. And in such a case, to say you have a brice, adom vadio vadvash vacholov yeveshim chotzim lachim enom chotzitzin. And on this list we have here dio, and if it's dio lach, then ein chotzitzin. And therefore the gumi, which is not mehudak, it's not a chatzitza, he could be tovel, and he doesn't have to worry about the dio. But the Gemara comes back now to ask its original kasha. The Chachamim require, right, we took a little digression, but we're getting back on track. The Chachamim require that he tie a gumi, okay, loosely, around the place where the name is written on his basar, before he goes into the mikvah. Is mikomakom kasha. So we see that the Rabbanon are requiring a gemi, and if the reason that the Rabbanan required a gemi is in order to protect from Mechikas Hashem, so if that's an impossible position, because as we said before, we have a chatzitza issue, so it's not going to prevent the Mechikas Hashem. So why do they require this kricha, this wrapping around? It doesn't seem to accomplish anything. Elama Rava Barav Shila Haini Tamay Drabbana, and the reason why the Chacham require that you tie this reed, this gemi around the Makom Hashem, is the Kasavar Asur Lamad Mifnei Hashem Aram. When he goes into the mikveh and he's naked, he's not allowed to stand in the presence of God, meaning in the presence of these shemos that are written on his arm, and he's naked. So Gemara says, Mechlad Rabbi Yossi Sov Shemuto Lamad Mifnei Hashem Aram. If the Rabbanan are just basing on themselves, I mean, the whole Iser here is because of Bifnei Hashem Aram. So what does Rabbi Yossi do with that Iser? I mean, he's not requiring a gemi. Nechlal de Rabbi Yossi Sover Shemuto Lamad Bifnei Hashem Aram. He's allowed to stand in the presence of God and he's naked. The Gemara answers, the Manach Yodei Iluye. He's allowed to cover up the shemos with his hand while he's naked, and therefore he's not standing in his nakedness in front of the shame, because he's got a yad, he's got a hand over the shame. So Gemara asks the kasha, if that be the case, Rabbanan Ami Demenech Yodei Liluye, why do Rabbanan insist that he has to cover the shame with a gemi? Why not just simply tell him to cover it with his hand? And the Gemara answers that the Chacham hold that if he's only going to cover the names of Hashem with his hand, is we have to be choshesh de zimnin de mishtale v'shakale, that there'll be some occasions on which he'll forget, he'll take his yad off of the shame, and then he's omei b'fnei Hashem arom. Zlachain, therefore it's riku likoch gemi shiyasham kolzman shehu orum. Okay, the Gemara says, but wait a minute, Rabbi Yossi Nami, why doesn't Rabbi Yossi worry the zimni mishtalei v'shakalei? In other words, he might forget himself, might take his hand away, and the shame is now exposed, and he's naked going into the mikveh. Ella says the Gemara, "E de ika gemi hachinami." If he has access to a gemi, then even Rabbi Yossi would agree that he should wrap the shame on his body with a gemi, and it's not enough that he put his hand down. But hachemai eskinon. Well, what's the case that we're dealing with in the brisa? That's la dure a gemi. He doesn't have a gemi, and he's got to run around, ladure, run around looking for a gemi. So in that case, why don't we postpone his tefillah till tomorrow? And he won't be mekayim tefillah bizmano. So the Gemara had asked the kasha on Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi should also require a gemi. I mean, how could Rabbi Yossi deny the possibility that sometimes he's going to forget himself when he's covering the shemos with his hands, going down into the mikveh? And if he removes his hand from over the name, then he's standing in front of the name Arum when he's naked. So what are you going to tell me? Enochinami. That Rabbi Yossi holds that if he has a gemi, if he has access to one, then he's going to be required to use the gemi. But in a case, and again, Rabbi Yossi is going to agree that we're not going to rely on the fact that he's covering the shemos with his hands. We're going to be afraid that he might forget himself, take off his hands. He's standing in front of the shame arum. But Hachmai Eskina on the Bryce is talking about a case of La Duria Gemi. How far do we have to push him in order to make sure that he looks for a gemi? If he doesn't have a gemi, now he has to run around, knock on doors, and he's going to probably end up postponing his tefillah, and he won't be mekayim the mitzvah tefillah bizmana. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is going to, in this case, alleviate his responsibility to run around and find the gemi. And what about the Rabbanan? Rabbanan Savri, and here we're on Daf Chav, Kuf Chav Aleph Amid Aleph, Tefillah Bizman Alav Mitzvah. There's no urgency, there's no time element here that Dafka, he's got to do the Tefillah at the first opportune moment of Tefillah. Umadrinon. And therefore, if he doesn't have access to a Gemi, then let him postpone his Tefillah and run around and find a Gemi. Rabbi Yossi saw a Tefillah Bizman Alav Mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi holds that there's an urgency in Tefillah Bizmana. And Rabbi Yossi derives this from a pasuk in Kitetze. It says, "V'ayo lifnos erev yirchatz b'mayim." The Torah is being makbid that he should go on the day of his tefillah without postponing it till the nighttime. Lifnos erev, and lo madrinan. Therefore, we're not going to force him and require that he run around looking for a gemi. In the meantime, he's going to delay his tefillah. We're going to rely on the fact that he covers the shame with his hands. So the Gemara now objects. V'savar Rabbi Yossi tefillah bizman of mitzvah. Is that really so? Can that be reconciled with another brisa of Asanya? Hazov hazov amitzora v'mitzoras boel nido mitami mes tefilosim v'yom. There's a whole long enumerated list of those tmeim that have to wait till daylight in order to be tovel, after what's called Hera Mizrach, from the sun that is about to break through the east, on the east, and we're talking on the seventh day of their tumah. And since it's already the time for their tefillah, then they should be tovel on that day, and even if it's on Yom Kippur itself, which is also Berchitza. And now let's add Nida. She also has Shivas Yomim, and then she goes to Toveles and Yoledes. Again, if it's a case of a Zohar, she had a baby boy, then she's Toveles at the end of the first week after the Leda. And if it's a female, she has a little girl, then she waits 2 weeks. Is in those cases to be lost on Balila. In other words, we wait till the last day of their tumah, and then in the night that follows the last day of their tumah, they go into mikvah. And now, Zman tfilosan hu toveles af belel Yom HaKippurim. In other words, even on the night of Yom HaKippurim, there will be tefillah. Bal Keri, a person who saw Keri, and now he needs midivrei sofrim, based on Takanas Ezra, he needs tefillah, is tovel v'holeh kol yom kula. Since his man tefillah is the whole day, then tovel af b'yom HaKippurim, he too is allowed to be tovel even on Yom Kippur, even though he saw Keri, li'achar shispal tefillas mincha, even if at the end of the day he saw Keri, why not wait till after nightfall and let him be tovel before Mayriv? Nevertheless, he should be tovel miyad immediately because tefillah bizman mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi Omer min haMincha lamala in itzarch litpo. If he sees Keri during the day, and let's say it's on Yom HaKippurim itself, it's min haMincha lamala. He's already daven mincha. Then he doesn't have to be tovel on Yom HaKippurim. He could delay it until Motzei Yom HaKippurim. He will be tovel, el dav mayriv, and there's no mitzvah to be tovel dafka bizman haTefillah. That wouldn't override the Yom HaKippurim. But we see clearly from Rabbi Yossi that he holds that the mitzvah tefillah bizmana does not exist. There's no urgent push for the mitzvah, and that's not the way we explained the sheet above. And Gemara answers, Hahi, that brisa, in which Rabbi Yossi says, Ein mitzvah litbal bizman haTefillah, that's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehudi. That's not our Rabbi Yossi, that's Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda. And he holds a Masechta Nida with regard to a woman that came to us after Nebuch, she miscarried, and she doesn't know exactly when she miscarried. She doesn't know also if it was a male or a female child. So we have now a suffek when, excuse me, when is the chalos man tefila as far as Haled is concerned? And the Braisa says, Daya litvila ba'achrona. She should wait till the end of the days that have a suffek. So after, for example, 3 weeks that she had a suffek on each day, maybe that was the last day of her tuma, she doesn't need tefila on those days that are in suffek, whether or not that's a day of tefila. So she has a suffek of Yom Tevila. That's not when she's going to be required to do Tevila, because ain't Tevila b'zman a mitzvah. If it's a suffek of Tovelas Liachar Tom Yimei suffek Tevila, we're going to tell her to postpone it until after the end of Tevila. And that's the shita of Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi himself holds that Tevila b'zman a mitzvah, which is actually the shita of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. They rejected Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. And the Chachamim hold that there's no mitzvah litvol dafka bizmano. That's not the same Chachamim that rejected Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, which is Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. They hold that mitzvah litvol bizmano. So the machlokas here revolves around whether tefillah bizmano mitzvah, which really depends on how to interpret the pasuk in Kitetze, as we mentioned earlier, Vayolifnos Erev Yirchatz Bamayim, so he can immerse himself, if he's a Balkari, immediately after his omission, and he becomes Tor at night. Rabbi Yossi says that this means that he's commanded to immerse himself on that very day. If he failed to do so, he could do it tomorrow. But Chachamim say, no, the Torah doesn't mean to set an obligation that he has to immerse himself on that very day. It's just advising him. It's a good Eitzah Tovah Kamashbalan for his own benefit that he should immediately take advantage of the opportunity of Tefillah. Because if he fails to do the Tefillah before the day turns into night, he won't become Torah until the following night. And therefore, the Torah is recommending, but it's not what we call tefillah b'zman a mitzvah. It's not part of the obligation per se. And that's machlokas here between Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. All right then, so we're now on the Mishnah, on the top, the first of the two Mishnayos, on Kuf Chof Aleph, Omid Aleph.